Like, ride with me if you ride with me. You can slide with me if you feel like 550 on the 5 sticky. Come get high with me. That's a deal, right? That's a deal, right? That's a bet, right? That's a bet, right? That's a deal, right? That's a deal, right? That's a bet, right?
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Poor Sports Podcast. It is your host, Jake Kelly, live in studio. I've got Jeremy to the left of me, and I got Lee on the line. Jeremy, start us off. How you doing, man? Good to see you.
I'm doing wonderful, and it's great to be in studio, seeing Jake's face, and Lee's, of course, on the line, and I'm so excited to talk about all the sports that have happened. It's been a crazy, it's been a crazy summer. That's just a general statement you can make.
Yeah.
But the sports is still crazy. You got the MLB that's flying through. You got the bubbles and the NBA and the NHL. Those are sweet. And it's week one of the NFL as we speak.
Yeah.
Not tomorrow, but the next day. Chiefs, Texans. I'm so excited.
Wow.
Lee, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. I don't think it happens too often that you see all four of the big sports playing at the same time the way that we're seeing it right now. And we get to see it obviously not for a ton of time, but still for a little bit here, we get to see all four. It's almost sport crazy right now.
I would say that it's probably never happened.
Well, usually in October, right? You got,
do you have all four?
Yeah, you got baseball at the end.
Yeah.
You got football starting up. Mm-hmm. You got basketball and hockey both starting up.
I guess, yeah. So I guess you're right. They're starting up.
Yeah,
that's
so,
right.
So there's 2 weeks where you get
this weird overlap. Yeah, yep. Yeah, for sure. But
now we got three teams right now in the ending or getting towards the end of their season, even with the MLB now, right?
Yeah.
The NFL's the one just starting now.
Three leagues, you mean, I think.
Yeah, what did I say?
Teams. But it's okay. Yeah. You're rusty. Yeah, you're rusty. It's all right.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do on this one, because it's been a little while since you've heard our beautiful voices, we're just going to go through kind of our quick – I shouldn't say quick. We're going to go through each league and just kind of talk about what we've missed, what's going on. By the time that you listen to this podcast, you may already know some of the outcomes. So honestly, get over it. I'm over it.
I love it, Jake.
That's my attitude on it.
What are we starting off with, Jake?
Let's start in a bubble, and let's go with the NHL. So we are recording on, it is Tuesday, September 8th, 2020. So just for a little bit of context there. So we are down to the final four teams with the Islanders and Tampa and the Stars and the Vegas Golden Knights. So, Jeremy, why don't you just talk about maybe what you're seeing with those four teams, or what is surprising you maybe?
So what's surprising is that, well, Washington was put out early, and boy, are they missing Barry Trotz. They need to hire a coach. That team has all the skill, really good defensemen, really good goaltenders, but they were put out by an Islanders team that is just super well coached and plays a super boring style
of game. Who's the coach?
Of the Islanders, Barry Trotz, guy that Washington let go. Yeah,
I know.
Matt Barzal's incredibly exciting, and I would fall asleep watching Islanders games if he wasn't playing. He's got that McDavid level speed, and I'll say it, I hesitated there for a bit, but his 0-60 just boom passes by guys, and his creativity is fantastic. So I'm a big Barzal guy. Don't really like the Islanders. Like the coaching. Don't like Lou, but so. And then I also like Vegas. They're a rather new team. Been to the Cup Final and looks like they might go again. So that's super exciting as well.
Yep. They're just an interesting team, Vegas is.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lee, what have you seen in the NHL bubble?
I've loved the bubble. I also loved it when every team in the world seemed like it was every you couldn't miss a game. There was games starting at 12. There was games starting at 10:30 right at the start. I'm with you. I'm not a big Islanders guy. They play pretty that Flyers Islanders series could bring you to sleep half the time, but then all of a sudden they'd have a period where it'd wake you right back up. I really like Vegas. Just a bunch of, if you want to do the classic looking for a team to root for in Canada, they have the most Canadians in the playoffs. I think they have 21, I think it is.
Wow.
Yeah, which is a ton, right? So then Plus but the Stars still, like, it almost feels like through each round there's a ton of people saying that Calgary could win that one. I know we ran a playoff bracket, and that was the most common upset that was picked, was the Stars losing to the Flames, and then they get to Colorado and you're like, well, Colorado's a wagon at the time, but the problem is goaltending issues there. But regardless, the Stars still did their job. They win that, and now all of a sudden they're already up 1-0 at the time of recording. They're playing game two, but they're up 1-0 on Vegas right here. So maybe a little love goes to the Stars here if they keep it going. Bunch of veterans on that team.
Leave it to Jamie Benn captain team to not go down.
Yeah,
If you don't know that, go search Twitter, Jamie Benn going down. You'll be in
That's
for some
all
laughs.
We're gonna say.
You'll be in for some laughs.
What about you, Jake?
If people don't know this by now, they should. But I'm a casual hockey fan. You guys are certainly much more hockey fans than I am. And honestly, whenever the Leafs go out, whenever the Leafs can't even make the literally to the first round or whatever they're calling it now, it's tough for a guy like me. It makes it less. I'm not watching the Leafs games, therefore I'm not as in tune with what's happening in the rest of the league. And that kind of sucks for me, especially whenever you've got the NBA going on at the exact same time and you've got the NFL.
And the Raptors were the exact opposite from the Leafs.
And that's just it, right? And to be honest, between the Islanders, Tampa, and Vegas and Dallas, they're not close to me at all, both geographically or to my heart. So it makes it a little bit tougher for me to root for it. I'd say I'd go with the Vegas thing just because, yeah, I guess the most Canadians, and I guess that's important to me. But I am really just more focused on how the Leafs, I just genuinely don't think that they're a good team. I think that if they were a team that was in Columbus or, a smaller market, these guys would not have the same type of hype that they have now. They were ninth going into it. They can't even get out of it. Just to me, it's astonishing. They have all these expectations and they can't do it.
Can we just all agree that hockey's just pretty random right now? Like you're all. It's a very there's a lot of parity in the sport.
Sure.
So like,
there always is in the playoffs though. That's hockey playoffs.
But like you had teams that were not in the playoffs, and like the Islanders are still there, even though they weren't really supposed to be in the playoffs.
What was their ranking?
No, they would have been a wild card.
They would have been a wild card.
Yeah, they would have been in it, I believe. Yeah.
So they were like one of the lower ranked teams, mm-hmm. And like last year you had Columbus sweep Tampa, and Tampa was like the best team we've ever seen in the cap era. I think the Leafs aren't great.
No, I think that they genuinely are
It took Ovi how many years to win a cup?
Yeah, but at least he was making the playoffs and winning rounds, right? And if he was losing, he was losing to Sidney Crosby. He wasn't losing to Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Yeah.
Come on. So it's just, to me, it's just frustrating. And seriously, if they weren't in the biggest hockey market in the entire world, I doubt that we would think that a guy like, I don't know, Mitch Marner.
Mitch Marner is the one
so
I'll pick
good.
On.
Is so good. You know, so I just think that, no, that's my two cents on the Leafs. And it's frustrating because I want them to be great. I love the organization. I just wish that they were better.
I'm an anti-Mitch Marner person, as you all know. So it was very nice to call it before the series and be like, he's maybe as good as William Nylander. Maybe. And then Mitch Marner disappears for the entire series and still gets to be on that super line that they were trying to throw out there with John Tavares and Austin Matthews. But I think the Islanders have now won 4 playoff series since John Tavares has left.
And that's an indictment on John Tavares. Or maybe not necessarily on the player, but on the idea of going out and getting a star whenever you can get 4 guys for the same price, right?
Yeah, maybe. That's one way to look at it.
And that's
a good way to look at it.
Anyways.
I like that.
Let's move on.
Yep.
Let's move on to the NBA. So we're at the point right now. The Milwaukee Bucks are actually literally playing right now against Miami.
The Giannis-less.
And they are without Giannis. They went down 3-0. To me, that's the biggest shocker. Currently, Toronto's down 3-2 to Boston. And I said at the beginning of the year, Toronto's got a great team. I think a good team. And I think they really overperformed this year. But I said at the beginning of the year, if they can, they'll probably lose in the second round. It'll be tough, but that's, I think, where they are this year, right? It's not a huge, it sucks.
Yeah.
Of course, I want them to go further. But seeing the Bucks be as bad as they've been against Milwaukee, I'll just say this about Giannis.
Against Miami.
What do you what?
You said seeing the Bucks being as bad as they are against Milwaukee.
Oh, well, to be honest, they kind of have been. they've just been bad in general. Thank you for correcting me. Giannis shouldn't be so easy to game plan against. We saw it last year in the Eastern Conference Finals. For a guy, a two-time MVP, which you probably will
be.
Who called that? You may have, I'm assuming. But for him to be so easy to game plan against, that's, I think it's an indictment on him, and it's an indictment on Mike Budenholzer.
Yeah, he's going to get fired, and he's not going to have another head coaching job.
I think that's...
I was just going to say quickly, so I'm the same Jake with the NHL as with the NBA. So this Miami Heat coach, he's been there forever, hasn't he?
Eric Spoelstra, right?
He's an easy Hall of Famer, right? Like, I'm not missing something here, right? Like, he's pulled off some great, like, everybody thought they didn't have a hope in the series, right? And then they take a team with, they're starting a couple rookies. Obviously Butler's carrying the big weight, right? On it. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a couple times during the Pacers series where he was just like, just keep giving it to me, we're not losing, kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I agree. Watching, and I've tuned in here and there, like watching Milwaukee play, it's like, are you sure this is the number one seed in the East? Like, it's crazy to look at. Like, if it was me that was just rolling in and watching, I wouldn't be able to tell who was the one, who was the four.
Totally. Yeah, that's fair. I like the whole Jimmy Butler story. I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that he didn't even bring his family into the bubble.
Yes, that's
true. He refused. Yeah, he refused.
Because he's just there to play basketball.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler is the most overrated player for someone who has done absolutely nothing. He's done absolutely nothing. I just don't get it. Has he ever been to the Eastern Conference Finals? I don't think, certainly not as the best player.
No.
Certainly, maybe whenever the Bulls were going against LeBron's Miami Heat. But for me, I get that he's, you know, tough Jimmy Buckets. Yeah, I take this so serious. Yeah. But, like, Jimmy Butler goes to the rim and gets, like, the ball knocked out off his knee. And the announcers are like, he's fearless going to get to the rim no matter what. It doesn't matter who's in there, even though we just turned the ball over.
Yeah.
Bleacher Report goes, Jimmy Butler just built different. Doesn't care. After he bricks a three. He's just so overrated. And that's just... Maybe he proves me wrong this year.
He does it, but... He's like a locker room leader. I think we saw in Minnesota where he clashed with Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. Yeah. But maybe he was on the right side of things. Maybe he's like the guy that like...
And now he's got a couple of youngsters himself that are turning like Tyler Hero, right? Yeah. Like, he's all of a sudden, like, he's being a mentor to some of these guys, right? And look at what's happening. Like, Hero had some clutch shots at the end of the last game, the game before that, as a rookie.
I'm just saying, like... Us being from around the Toronto area, and I love Kyle Lowry, and even Brad Stevens says Kyle Lowry is one of the most underrated players in the league, mm-hmm. despite being an all-star. Jimmy Butler could have the same story arc very soon. You're saying overrated, but I'm saying like you saying he's never been in the Eastern Conference Finals. Kyle Lowry didn't have too much success prior to last year. Now,
I mean, like, he was in the playoffs every single year. Every single year, going
the goalposts. You're talking Jimmy Butler not making the Eastern Conference Final.
Lowry went to the Conference Finals in 2016. It's not like he hadn't done anything ever. He was, I think, a 6-time All-Star.
I'm just saying, because I also romanticize Kyle Lowry, but I'm on the pro-Jimmy Butler side of things, too. Like, Jimmy Butler, this time next year, we could be talking about, like, that dog that, like, doesn't give up and will do anything to win.
Yeah,
Jimmy, and, but like the same things Kyle Lowry said about him.
Yeah, and as of right now, right, like it's so as of recording, it's the end of the third quarter down in Orlando, and the Heat are up 8. So they got one quarter to finish out, and then we can't even use this, not in the Eastern Conference Final anymore with Jimmy Butler. I'm with Jer. I like Jimmy Butler personally. Maybe I didn't like him as much when he was going against the Raptors last year, but like the more and more I see of him, the more and more I like of him.
I like Jimmy Butler. I hate the coverage that Jimmy Butler receives.
Oh, so you think he's overhyped, right?
He's a good player. He's certainly a great locker room leader, but everyone treats him like he's the second coming of Michael Jordan. Yeah. And then he goes out and like scores 10 points and gets 8 boards and 5 assists. And the other nights he might go get 40, absolutely. But let's not act like he's not LeBron James. He's not Kawhi Leonard. He's not in that tier of player. Isn't. And everyone tries to put
him
there.
But sometimes it's nice to not to cheer for that kind of player.
Sure. Sure.
Okay, so let's talk predictions with the NBA and like who we got left. All the second round series are already going and close to finishing. By the time we're recording, and maybe by the time you listen to it, there's already two series that potentially could be done, both on the East. What do you guys think?
Jeremy, why don't you go ahead?
I got a Miami and Clippers final.
Okay.
With Clippers winning.
Yeah, that's fair. I have Boston Lakers.
That'd be nice.
Lakers would be nice. I think Anthony Davis, we're going to see Anthony Davis just really show how good he is.
First time a Lakers made the All-NBA first defensive team since Kobe Bryant did it back like 5 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
That's cool enough.
And I think Boston's going to beat Toronto, and I'm just not as high on Miami as I think some other people are. And maybe I should be because they're clapping Milwaukee, but
I think Toronto's probably going to win game 6 and then lose in game 7. And I think Miami's going to win tonight, and then they're going to have a bunch of rest, and that's going to be good for them. I think it'll be a close series, but like probably Miami wins it in 6 or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
That's just my thought process.
Fair enough. Lee, you got any predictions?
Wait, who's winning between Boston and LA?
Oh, the Lakers, of course. The Los Angeles Lakers, no doubt about it.
Los Angeles LeBrons?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I would take Miami to advance. And then I still am trying to die on my bet of when we bet way back when, who would get out of the West. Jerry, you took the Clippers as you picked the Clippers in the finals too. And,
that Kawhi finger block. I love it.
Jake, you picked the Lakers as you're picking by it there. And I had the field. So I guess, on the West side, I'm going to take the field still here and hope for the best, even though both teams, I guess the
Rockets are tied, right?
Yeah, Houston are tied, but 2-1 down. But the Nuggets have played really well, so you never know, right?
And it's nice to cheer for the Canadian kid.
Great to cheer for. Yeah. Anytime you got a Canadian star in like that this late in the playoffs, it's great to cheer for.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on. Let's go to the NFL. Jeremy, why don't you lead this off? You wanted to talk about some the big extensions.
The big extensions. So we've seen in the previous days, we've seen Keenan Allen sign a deal that makes him the second highest paid receiver on average in the league. 4 years, $80 million extension.
Overrated.
One of the best route runners in the league. And on a team that has a rookie quarterback, you can afford to pay people to stay there. Because you have that, like, openness. And then you have DeAndre Hawkins.
Sorry, what did you just say?
Like overpowered. I said it. I waited. I'm reading. I said what I said. There's probably better words. We're just going to move on. You also have the DeAndre Hopkins extension. He negotiated himself and got like something nuts. It's like a 2-year extension, but
it's in the 50s and it's 43 guaranteed.
It's the highest AAV of a non-quarterback ever. And then we have Deshaun Watson. We have Deshaun Watson, who signed, I think it was like a 4-year, $160 or $180 million deal. And so he gets paid. It's the second highest contract ever signed. I mean, it's only like $350 million behind Patrick Mahomes' deal. But it's insane that he's going to get the high AAV of $40 million a year, gets to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of it at a relatively young age, especially for a quarterback. So he'll get
second payday.
Yeah, he'll get that second mega payday. And then we have like Dak sitting in the same state as him, still wanting money. And the Cowboys are in kind of like a quagmire of sorts because they're going to wait this year and see if he's the guy. And the Cowboys want to win games. The Cowboys are going to go and try and win games. But the more games you win, the more you're going to have to pay Dak.
Mm-hmm.
So the better you are this year, the worse you're going to make yourself in future years because you're going to have to pay Dak.
Yeah, you're right.
It's and like,
or you just don't pay Dak.
You just don't pay
Jacko and then get one of the Lawrence Fields or that kid from North Dakota.
They won't be there for Dallas, but
if they're good, yeah.
So I think those extensions have been huge, and then you've had some defensive ones. I know Cameron Hayward for the Steelers that he signed the The biggest contract for a defensive player over the age of 30 ever.
That defense is sick.
Yeah.
Like, that Steelers defense is legit.
Yeah, and we will get to that in a little bit, in just a couple minutes here. Boys, it's flag planting day. It's the NFL. We're all big into the NFL. We have to make some Super Bowl predictions. I'm saying that right now.
Do we?
We do, Jake.
Do we? Doesn't it seem a little early for that? Doesn't it seem a little early?
Jake's like, what team does LeBron play? Lee, you want to lead us off?
Yeah, I it's not going to be super shocking. I'm jumping off the deep end with this Bucks team because I've needed this. I've never even seen a playoff game since 2007 being a Bucks fan. So I'm taking the Bucks to come out of the NFC. I think they're going to start rolling. I think with Leonard Fournette adding, I think we just become a nightmare problem. You can't stack the box because we have the receivers and tight ends, and you can't stay back because now we have Leonard Fournette. And I think the defense
Leonard
is underrated.
Fournette completely overrated.
I understand that, and I'm going to talk about it in the next section too. But I understand Leonard Fournette's not worth the hype that he is. But he walks into a great situation here, and I'll explain it more in the next section. But I'm going to take the Bucks to come out of the NFC, and I'm going to be super boring, and I'm going to take the Chiefs to come out of the AFC, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers being the Super Bowl champs. It feels good I can say that, though, and I not get, like, criticized.
Yeah,
right? If I said that last year with Jameis Winston, you guys would have laughed me out of the studio.
Well, and for good reason.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But it feels good to be able to say this, and you guys be like, oh, well, they could.
I don't know if I'm saying it could. It all depends, like, what narrative you want to take with Tom Brady going to Tampa. Is he going to be, like,
is he going to be last season Tom Brady, or is he going to be two seasons ago Tom Brady?
But last season, Tom Brady didn't have anything to go with.
I'm well aware. He's my fantasy quarterback. I'm well aware he didn't.
Yeah, Jake, you wanna plant your flag?
I mean, I think that there's some. The NFC to me is very, very interesting. I don't trust New Orleans, Green Bay. I think. I'm gonna maybe go just a little bit off the board here. I'm gonna take Seattle to go. To the NFC
Wilson.
I just think that it's a great organization. This isn't their first time around the block kind of thing. And it's been a while since they've done it. I wouldn't bet my house on it, but I wouldn't bet my house on any of these teams, right?
It's the NFL. COVID season.
Exactly. In the AFC, just because Lee took the Chiefs, I'm going to take the Ravens. I think Lamar Jackson takes the next big step that he, you know, theoretically
just
is.
Just got to start with winning one. Got to win one.
And I think once he wins one, the monkey's off his back, and away we go. So that's my like not like any. I don't think that's anything too crazy, but it's a little bit spunky, I guess.
Okay, so I'm gonna stay in the same divisions as you guys, but pick different teams.
Going back to the ship. So, what are you about to do in the NFC?
So in the NFC, you had the New Orleans Saints making it to the Super Bowl with Drew Brees in his last potentially last year. I think it's a team that's returning a lot of players. Michael Thomas is fantastic. Emmanuel Sanders they added, and I think Michael Thomas hasn't had a good second option. So it's going to be a good thing for him.
That's harsh on Brandon Cooks.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that is very like in previous year. Like, yeah.
Yeah. No, I know. And Brandon Cooks now, it wouldn't be harsh on, but Brandon Cooks was like before he was Mr. Concussion.
Yeah. And then from the AFC, I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Big Ben stays healthy. I love this pick.
I think the defense is huge. They're returning a whole bunch. Fitzpatrick is fantastic. They re-signed Cameron Hayward. And then I like
CJ.
I like Deontay Johnson and Juju as some wide receivers. And James Conner, again, if he can stay healthy. If James Conner and Big Ben can stay healthy, I think you're looking at a team that not only just wins the AFC North, but wins
plus
the whole Super Bowl.
They have Ebron.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of him. I think he's completely overrated, but he can jump really high.
It's good. It's good for Big Ben because he's always been a big tight end quarterback.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm just looking at the futures odds. The Steelers are at plus 1,100.
Okay.
Tied with the Buffalo Bills.
Yep.
At plus 1,100.
Yep.
That to me is interesting. But
that is interesting. But hey, that's what we love. That's what we love here.
I'd be. I like the money far more on Pittsburgh than I do on the Buffalo Bills. That's just me.
I listened to a podcast today that had Josh Allen winning MVP and them going to the Super Bowl.
You need to unsubscribe. You need to stop listening. We'll move off this just in a second, but just last time that I saw Josh Allen do anything, it's when he was running down the field 35 yards and then just pitching the ball to no one in the last playoff game that they lost. It just
when there was no time constraint and there was no need to just pitch the ball.
I just don't understand how you make it that far in your career and just make a play like that that like you would see a high school sophomore make in like a JV game.
And we got asked by Spencer Payne. We put out on Instagram every time before we go, poor_sports, what you want us to talk about. And he said he wants some NFL predictions, which we just did. And he wanted to know the offensive rookie of the year. So do you guys have anybody you guys want to talk about?
I want to interject really quickly.
Of course.
I am going with Joe Burrow, but I think we're all going to go with Joe Burrow. So can we do a...
I was not going to go with Joe Burrow.
Okay, well.
I wasn't going to go with Joe Burrow.
I'm going to go Joe Burrow, but I think that's kind of chalk. So I think number two, if it's not a quarterback winning offensive rookie of the year, it's going to be a running back. And I'll go with my fantasy football darling, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
That's a kid from Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
Or like who's in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Lee?
If we're not, like, I was going to take Joe Burrow. He is my fantasy darling because I had the first overall pick in our dynasty draft. I guess if I'm not going to go him, I'll then keep adding fun to this. I'll take Antonio Gibson from Washington.
Ooh, I like that. The guy they cut Adrian Peterson because of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm with you with the Chiefs guy. I just think what a great offense to be in. I just don't. It's not a knock on Joe Burrow. It's a knock on the Cincinnati Bengals. I just don't think he's going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year when his team goes 3-13. What was Arizona's record last year?
Did they win 5-11?
I think they're 5-11.
Fair enough. I think.
I get your point. You don't want to give it to a guy who goes that record.
Yeah. And so he might win it, but I wouldn't vote for it.
Gotcha. All right, well, and he also asked for Defensive Rookie of the Year, but we all like Chase Young, right, as a collective podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wouldn't know enough about it to give a good enough educated opinion on it.
Chase Young's the guy.
Chase Young, and if maybe a dark horse, you want to bet somebody else, bet Okuda.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the MLB, which is surprising because our last episode, the MLB hadn't even started. And we were guessing teams to be good, guessing teams. So I don't think Jake did guess that they would be in the playoffs, but I don't think anybody thought the Jays were going to be this good.
They're fun.
Fun. What I said was that I picked them to be like in because they've expanded the playoff field.
Yeah.
In case you didn't know that. So they've expanded the playoff field, and I said they're going to be right around. They're going to be in that Toronto Maple Leaf area, right? That's where they're gonna be.
I feel
be.
So different though.
And that's just what I think it's really, really cool. Like that they're doing it even though they're the Buffalo Blue Jays right now. It's still a fun story for Toronto sports fans.
It is a very fun story. One thing to say about that is we got the Toronto Maple Leafs who are in the hockey mecca, so all the eyes are on them all the time, and they have the star power of Austin Matthews, William Nylander, Mitch Marner, and then you have the Raptors who
left off Tavares there for a reason or something.
No, just like moving on.
Yeah.
The Raptors are like the team that they don't really have that one superstar. They had Siakam, who was the most improved player last year. It looks like he could be, but like he's not in that field. Yep. But they're just the team that wins because they played the good team game, really good on defense, nothing super flashy. It was like a great change to go and drown my sorrows after the Leafs disappointment to go to the Raptors. And then you have the Blue Jays, mm-hmm. a completely different team, all young, super exciting, having these huge comebacks and
huge, just all hitting home runs too.
Yeah, it like they have 8 great hitters in the lineup. Travis Shaw's even had his moments, right? Like, I called him to like lead the league in home runs or something on the last episode, which was awful. But yeah, the Blue Jays are fun and they're coming. Like, Vlad isn't who we all thought he was going to be, but he's getting better. And
Stole a base the other day.
Stole a base the other day.
Rowdy's starting to come into it. If this team, if the Jays weren't as bad as they were on the base pass, they would be even better too. But if you definitely would have said at the start of the season, and when we made our last podcast, as of then, the Jays were playing in Toronto. But if you would have told me that the best team in New York wouldn't have been the New York Yankees, it would have been the Buffalo Blue Jays, then I would have been shocked. But I guess speaking of the Yankees, they are an awful baseball team right now.
Well, they're 500, right? but for their expectations, that's not even close to where they should be. And that's,
I think they've lost 14 of their last 19.
Yeah, something crazy.
Then Garrett Cole's lost his last three starts. Last four starts, and he's the highest paid pitcher in the league.
And the bullpen is exploding over there, and that was supposed to be kind of their bread and butter.
And
it just goes to show. It goes to show that the Yankees, not getting anything at the deadline is going to cost them. I think here, even when the Jays, who were behind them at the time, did the just in case they didn't give up pretty much anything, right? Like they got all guys on 1 year deals or stuff like that, where they didn't have to give his players to be named later, et cetera, right? And now look at them. They start to, those seven inning games, you can have guys like Walker Buehler, Taiwan Walker, Robbie Ray go the full seven and keep your bullpen out of it. But the bullpen's been fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is what you're going to get in a 60 game for some teams season. And you know, the Yankees could just be going through it right now in a regular season, right? But that's, you know,
we saw the Washington Nationals have a bad funk last year and then go on to win the World Series.
Yeah.
So it's possible, but in a shortened season, it's crippling. Yep. But like also, if you're the GM of the Yankees, are you going to go out and support your team by adding pieces at the deadline when your team is super underperforming? Or do you say, no, you guys don't deserve it?
I wouldn't have overbid on any players.
Yeah. But,
If I'm Cashman, it's still Cashman.
And they were so hurt that any team that they probably called for was like, we know you desperately need this guy, so let's bring this play instead of players to be named later. Let's get some of these prospects rolling.
And we don't. Nobody ever wants to help the Yankees.
No. All right. Well, we can move on to some quick hitters. I don't need to talk about the Tampa Bay Rays, who are a team of destiny and leading the AL East, but we don't need to talk about them. We can just.
Are
move
they
going to
win the World Series, Lee?
Why not? Like we're the number one team in the AL East, which has been one of the best divisions in baseball, and we've had the amount of injuries that we have. I am on the team. I think my cutout's in left field if you guys want to go look for it. But no, we can go to the quick hitters now, which is a nice little fun segment. Just because we've been gone for so long, we're going to run through some of the biggest stories that have happened while we've been gone.
Yeah, I would say more so. It's more so the stories that have kind of just happened recently. But we wanted to get to the big stuff that happened in the Big Four, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of the stuff of the last week, if you will, right? That we couldn't in a normal non-COVID world. Whenever we're able to record more, we would kind of talk about. So we're just going to quickly kind of run through. You're just going to hear a quick opinion on these things coming up. So I'll start off. So. Lee, Dustin Johnson won the FedEx Cup, quick $15 million, just absolutely dominated. Quick, one sentence, what do you think?
No one's better than Dustin Johnson when he's at his best right now.
Fair enough, you're up next.
Djokovic out, defaulted, as they say, in the U.S. Open after striking a lines person, or a lines judge, sorry, with a ball in the throat. Jeremy, what do you got to say about that?
Biggest idiot in sports in 2020.
Absolutely.
That's it. Okay, so Jake, I'm going to come to you next.
Yeah.
So Cristiano Ronaldo scored his 100th and 101st international goal.
Yep. Cristiano Ronaldo, 100 and now 101 goals. Leo Messi, internationally, I should say, Leo Messi only has 70.
Ooh.
Think about that. Lee, Colin Kaepernick is back in Madden 21. And he is ranked as an 81. Last time he was in the game, he was, I believe, a 74. He got better in the game, and he hasn't been in the NFL in 4 years. What are your thoughts?
Jeremy, I want you to quickly tell me who he's better than in this game.
So I think he's the highest-rated quarterback on the free agent market in the Madden. I think he's an 81. And so some of the guys that he's better than are Joe Burrow, first overall pick, Jared Goff, who's been to a Super Bowl, Sam Darnold, Teddy Bridgewater, Derek Carr, Josh Allen, Ryan Tannehill, Cam Newton, Baker Mayfield and last year's Rookie of the Year, Kyler Murray. He has a higher overall ranking, and overall doesn't really mean everything in sports games. But, yeah, it's quite interesting.
And it really shows maybe why Madden has the worst rating of all time in their game this year.
Yeah, everyone's complaining. Well, I saw a tweet the other day that was like, who did the Eagles just sign to their practice squad, the 41-year-old quarterback?
Oh, Josh McCown?
Josh McCown.
Yeah, so he's going to sit at home making $12,000 a year or $12,000 a month or a week or something to not be with the team because he's going to be their like emergency backup quarterback in case COVID strikes the team. Kaepernick still doesn't have a job.
I think we all know that people will cry like bloody murder if he's not at least on the actual team, right? Yeah. They'll say he's way too qualified to do that. Anyways, yeah. Moving on. Lee, it's your read.
Authentic wins the 146th Kentucky Derby over the heavily, heavily favored Tis the Law. Jeremy, what do you got to say?
Lee, you passed me the rock on Kaepernick. You let us know what you think on the Kentucky Derby. Did you win money on it?
I put a dangerous amount of money on Tis the Law, so I don't like Authentic.
There you go.
So next we have in the NBA bubble that the coach, like the players are allowed to bring their families and loved ones into the bubble now with a whole bunch of like social distancing guidelines and blah, 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 blah. The coaches, however, were not. What say you, Jake?
I don't think the refs were either. It's a business trip, baby. That's all there is to it. They're here to play ball. Let's go. Let's get the show on the road.
Oh, you're wearing a big Jimmy Butler guy there, Jake.
Well, I guess everyone else in the world is, so I guess I have to be too. Last one, Lee, coming to you. Lionel Messi, the aforementioned Leo Messi. It looks like he's going to have to stay in Barcelona against his very wishes. What are your thoughts? Last one.
It's going to be very interesting to watch Barcelona this year because is the new coach want to play him when he already 1 foot in the door, out the door, right?
You have Messi, you play him.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, that does it for the quick hitters. Coming up next, we're going to talk some fantasy football, baby. Let's go.
Woo!
Poor sports. What is your fantasy? Because my fantasy is fantasy football. Oh, yeah. Fantasy football is back in 2 days. So we are going to give you all of the skill positions. I guess we're not going to talk about kickers and defense. Okay.
Because if you're listening to this podcast, you probably hate kickers and defense in your fantasy league. But that's a different discussion.
But we are going to each of us are going to talk about a quarterback, a running back, a wide receiver, and a tight end that we love and one that we would avoid. There is going to be some controversy coming up now.
Okay, one at a time.
Let's get things pretty much right. Let's get the cat out of the bag here. I bet you probably every single person that we're about to say, whether you love or avoid, if you love them, they're probably on your fantasy team. And if you're avoiding them, that you either missed out on them or you just hate them for a personal reason. We're going to get in front of it now.
I don't think that's true.
I don't either.
I would never try to talk up my own team.
I'm going to be talking down my own team in one of these sections.
So we'll just get started right away. So quarterbacks, why don't we go through and we'll just say, how do we want to do this, guys?
You want to all do loves first and then all do avoids?
Sure. So, Jeremy, why don't you just say who you love and then give your little blurb about why you love him.
Well, I love you, Jake. No, okay. But the Detroit Lions quarterback, Matt Stafford, he was on a tear last year before he got hurt. And he has Kenny Golladay, TJ Hawkinson, and Marvin Jones as weapons. Yes, they drafted DeAndre Swift in the second round, and now Adrian Peterson's there. But I think you'll see Matt Stafford air it out. And I'm probably going to sprinkle a couple dollars down on him winning NFL MVP because I think he could just throw for 5,000 yards and have 30 to 35 touchdowns.
And if his team goes 10 and 6, then I don't hate the person that you love.
And in fantasy, Matt Stafford's available near the end of the draft.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't be taking quarterbacks early on. Like you can
in one quarterback
in one quarterback leagues. Yes, correct. But so I like how Matt Stafford's usually there at the end for me to take.
Don't be that guy in fantasy that takes Patrick Mahomes in the first or second round. Don't be that guy.
There's always one who does, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can.
You know, if you're listening, you're probably smiling to yourself. You're like, that's me. I am that guy.
Yeah. They exist out there. I can understand why someone does it. The guy can give you 50 points any single week, and that can just single-handedly get you the – and that's just how it goes sometimes.
If Lamar Jackson replicates the season of last year, he's worth the draft cost. We just don't see him throwing 9% of his throws as touchdowns this year.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's the case. No. I'll talk about that a little bit later on. Mm-hmm. Jake.
Yep.
I'm going to come right back at you. Who's the quarterback you love?
I think similar to you, I'm picking a guy that I think might have a bounce back season in Jared Goff. I just think when you have Sean McVay as your guy, as your coach, he's an offensive genius. They took a step back last year. I don't think that I don't think he'll take another step back. I think that he'll have a better year than he did last year.
No, and Todd Gurley, so that means they might be throwing it more.
Yeah,
throwing more.
Maybe it's hard to say, right, with that Rams offense. But I just think that they have the pieces and the brain power like around, if you know, last year I think a lot of people would have said they loved him, so I think it's again a good value pick, right, for a quarterback. And so
I like Jared Goff's Jared Goff the pass thrower. The problem is I don't like the Los Angeles Rams offensive line, which is I think ranked again in like 30th or 29th.
They don't have a good line, so
which is scary. But you're right with Todd Gurley. You get a lot more stacked boxes when he was there, right? More blitzes, everything like that. All of a sudden you have Cam Akers, and they're going by running back by association, I think. So I think maybe you don't see as many boxes stacked where he can actually sit back and maybe have time to throw. So I like that.
Fair enough. Lee, you're.
I'm going, as you guys know, our podcast is a big Joe Flacco podcast.
He's not even on a team, I don't think.
He is. I'm pretty sure he's the backup in the Jets, okay, if we're on it. But it's not going to be him, surprisingly, even though he is available in most places. It's going to be another Broncos quarterback in Drew Locke. I think this draft and what they've done all around, they've stacked this offense around him. I think if you look at names and if you look at predictions, which obviously you can't, but you look in a division where defense, sometimes you get some high scoring games with the teams in that division. And I love Drew Locke with the weapons he has.
Yeah. It's all about the weapons there. They got KJ Hamler, Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant, Philip Lindsay, yeah, Melvin Gordon. The list is incredible. So, and in that division, you're going to need to score because they have like Kansas City and stuff in that division. So you're going to have to keep up with them one way or another. Drew Locke's not a bad pick.
Yeah, fair. Okay. So moving on to who we wanted to avoid, Jeremy.
So I'm looking at these players I have on my avoid list, and they're on my Dynasty Fantasy Football team. So I'm just saying for cost. I was saying earlier, you don't draft quarterbacks early on, and my quarterback in the league of record is Lamar Jackson. He's probably dragged me to a championship last year, but I don't think he's going to be throwing 35 touchdowns this year. His rushing touchdowns might go up, but it's not something I'm willing to bet on. And there's so many more skilled players. You can get like a Travis Kelce or something right around the same area, who's fantastic, but that's also another like onesie position. I like going for...
Sorry, can I just interject quick there? Yeah. And with Travis Kelce, there's three tight ends in the entire league. There's more than enough quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
Right? If that's...
You can find points elsewhere. And so avoid Lamar Jackson and in parentheses, Patrick Mahomes. Because you don't want to draft quarterbacks early. That's the life lesson you learn. If you're going to learn one thing from the Poor Sports Podcast, it's don't draft quarterbacks early.
There you go.
Amen.
Jake, who are you avoiding?
This is no surprise to you if you know anything about me. It's avoid Baker Mayfield. And if for no other reason other than just bet against the Cleveland Browns until they make you not bet against them. And time and time and time and time again, they've shown that they just underperform. We all know that last year I was on the big Cooper Kupp versus Odell Beckham Jr. train, and people said, well, look at who's throwing the ball to him. You know, Baker this, Baker that. I think he's just got too much hype, and I wouldn't touch him. And
who do you hate more, Baker Mayfield or Jimmy Butler?
Wow.
Baker Mayfield. I don't hate... I don't hate Jimmy Butler. I don't hate Jimmy Butler. I just hate how ESPN portrays him.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't like Baker Mayfield. Yeah, Baker. I'm not a big Cleveland Browns guy.
And they just signed Kareem Hunt to the extension. So I think they plan to run the ball quite a bit this year in Cleveland. And that's kind of taking the ball out of Baker's hands, and maybe for good reason.
Probably by design. And I'm assuming it's another coach this year. I can't keep up.
Kevin Stefanski?
Yeah, so it is. It is, right? So, you know, I've heard good things about Stefanski, but it's the Browns. And until the Browns stop...
Also, look at the offense he had with the Vikings, right? It was a very run-heavy offense.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
I'm avoiding the new piece of the armory with the new coaching down in Carolina with Teddy Bridgewater. He just signed the new deal there. Good for him, especially after I think everybody probably saw that Instagram post where he was saying what happened 4 years ago to this day, and now look where he is. I don't like the situation he's in with Carolina. I think the only thing that I think he has going for him is I think they're going to be getting smoked in a lot of games, so they're going to have to go get back. But you got to think it's going to be very Christian McCaffrey heavy. And brand new offense. I'm not a big fan of Teddy Bridgewater, even though he went 5-0 as a starter last year with the Saints. I just think you probably want to avoid. I want to make him prove himself first, is what I'm kind of saying. So I wouldn't draft him.
So this is the first time I'm going to disagree with you, Lee. Teddy's not a guy you're going to draft because he's going to be in like one quarterback leagues. He'll be on the waiver wire, and I think in games where they're going to get blown out, there's going to be a lot of garbage time. And yeah, I might just be dumping off to Christian McCaffrey, but Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore as wide receivers, and now Robbie Anderson, there's a lot of talent there. So I think they're going to score a lot of points. So Teddy Bridgewater, I can see myself streaming quite a bit of this year.
That's fair enough.
Do we want to move on to a different position?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's
switch positions. Running back?
Yeah, sure.
Running back.
Why don't I go first on this one?
Jake, who do you love?
Saquon Barkley.
So if you have a top two pick in your fantasy football draft, you can get Jake's guy he loves.
I just think that if do everything you can to trade for the guy. I just think he's
I've tried that, Jake. You won't give him to me.
Yeah, I know, because I love him so much. I don't think I need to say too much more. I think if you know anything about fantasy football, you know Saquon Barkley. But I think it has to be said. I think he's probably going to be the best running back in the league. And you can't not love him.
Guy has massive quads. I love him. He's going to catch a whole bunch of balls. It'll be interesting to see that team when they're fully healthy, because they weren't really skill position players weren't healthy all at the same time last year.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting
to
see
what the team
does.
And they improved that offensive line immensely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jeremy, who do you love?
I love, from the soon-to-be Super Bowl 55 champions, the running back James Conner. I think he's going in like that fourth, fifth, sixth round, where like not the premier running backs are going, but Mike Tomlin always uses the bell cow. And James Conner, last time he was healthy and on the field, was a top five running back. I think the if he stays healthy, everything like depends on health, but he's a lock to be a top 10 running back, and at that late in the draft, that's great value. That's my thoughts there.
Okay.
Lee,
I'm gonna say a name that you guys are both gonna hate because you guys don't
Joe Flacco it. Doesn't play running back.
No, I'm going with a homer pick, and just hear me out on why. I'm saying love Fournette, because he started drifting down in draft boards, and you guys think he's overrated. I'm not saying that he's the rating as he ever will be. My thought and what I expect to happen is I think with how good the wide receivers and the tight ends are in Tampa Bay, that you're going to have a matchup problem. I think that they're not going to be able to stack the box. Which is a big theme with me with running backs, is teams that you get the box stacked against and teams that you don't, right? So they're not going to be able to, because you're going to need your safeties in coverage, you're going to need your corners in coverage, and you're going to need a lot of time your outside linebackers in coverage against O.J. Howard and Gronk. So I think this lets a running back in Leonard Fournette, who's only seen stack boxes because he's never had a quarterback. I'm sorry, any Jags fans who think you do. He's never had a quarterback in Jacksonville. I think it's going to let him have space and time and be able to eat a little bit more. And I think he's going to win anybody who thinks Ronald Jones is going to win the job, like, you don't make a deal like that if you think Ronald Jones is going to make the job.
They hardly paid him anything. It's not like, oh, they went out and signed mega star. It's not like the Melvin Gordon contract. I think they have now Shady in the room. They have Sean Vaughn. They have Ronald Jones and now Leonard Fournette. It's a RBBC there, running back by committee. And I don't think, like, Ronald Jones has been in the system for a while longer, so he knows the playbook. Leonard Fournette probably won't even see too many snaps in the first week.
Bruce Arian already said he's going to be the main guy today.
I don't know. Well, I think Leonard Fournette just is not even going to be on Tampa for the whole season. That's my take.
You can say, like, Bruce Arians can say whatever he wants right now, but whenever the season gets going, it's I'm just not super high on him. I just think that the fact that nobody even wanted to touch him, right? If we can believe the guy in Jacksonville,
is it Doug Marrone?
Thank you. If we can believe what he said, saying we tried to get a 6th round pick, a 7th round pick, no one wanted it.
Nobody wants a contract. It's not him.
I get that, but
there's been reports of laziness, and he's a selfish person.
And he just never has really put it together, right?
Like he was great this season because he caught balls out of necessity, but I don't think he's catching any balls in Tampa Bay. Where do you have him, Lee? Do you have him as a top 10 running back?
No, top 15? I don't. And I don't even think drafting has him there either.
Do you top 15?
I would say he's. I think so. Like, for instance, like on my team. I would have him as an RB2, which I would love.
Interesting.
Guys, I don't disagree with you that Shady's going to get in and Ronald Jones is going to get in. Ronald Jones can't catch a pass. Like he's had bad drops all preseason. So that's where like Shady comes in. But like if he can't catch Ronald Jones, where do you see him getting on the field?
Ronald Jones has great burst. I think he has those long runs. He doesn't do very well at breaking tackles, but Leonard Fournette might be good for short yard. He might be like a LeGarrette Blount for Tom Brady. Like that, he's had success there, but like I don't see Fournette as doing much more than that. We'll see. Tampa Bay is definitely a situation to monitor.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to players to avoid. Jake, are you saying this first or am I saying this first? Because it appears we have the same person.
Well, why don't we just say it at the same time? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, I just think it's going to be impossible. I think people are going to love him too much for what he did for 5 games last year. And I get he's a beast, but he's going to go too high. People are going to buy way too high on him. I don't think Tennessee will be able to replicate what they did. I think they were just a Cinderella team, which was fun. And it was
a Music
fun.
City Miracle, perhaps.
Yeah. But I just don't think that he's going to, and he's got his money now. I don't know. I just don't see it.
I think he's a good player, but I like my running backs to catch balls. That's like what I like to do. But their rookie that they drafted, Darrington Evans, he hasn't been doing well. So maybe Derrick Henry turns into this 3-down back. I don't see it, though. And Tennessee, I think they had everything went right for them last year, and they were winning some games. I don't see them winning this many games.
Exactly.
So I don't think you can give Derrick Henry the ball when you're trailing by 10 points.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you, and I would just say that he, will he get you a game that he probably gets you like 45 points somehow?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, he'll get that for you, but I just don't think where he's going to go in any draft, I don't think he was worth it.
No. Lee? Thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with that. He's going in like what? He's going as the RB5.
Yeah,
is he that low?
I think it's like 6. You got Cook, Kamara, Zeke, Saquon, and CMC all ahead of him.
Okay, but still, most times in a first round pick, and I don't know, I wouldn't be able to do it. With there, I do like him to still do like that. Offensive line is still really good there. I don't know. What?
They're going to see stacked boxes. You hate stacked boxes.
I know, but that's what I mean. I'm with you guys. I wouldn't draft him where he is, but you're right. I do hate stacked boxes. So for me, I'm also a big negative of when teams go ahead and draft running backs high in a draft, especially when it gets close to your contract year, let alone maybe you had a bad season, because you don't spend the draft capital, because running backs are hard to be paid. So you don't spend the draft capital on a young running back to not play him. So that's why my avoid's Marlon Mack. He got a ton of yardage last year, and I'm not saying he's going to do like, he's not going to have a terrible season, but I think you're going to slowly but surely see Jonathan Taylor come into this because Marlon Mack wanted a big deal, and he's not getting it. So I think you're going to see Marlon Mack slowly but surely be phased out. And I also think the same with Ingram, Brandon Ingram, or Melvin Ingram.
Mark,
oh, my gosh.
Mark Ingram?
Mark Ingram. Yeah,
Brandon third Ingram. Time's
charge. Yeah, I know. Brandon Ingram of the Jazz. Of the Jazz. Oh, my God.
Oh, Pelicans.
Have a day.
Put the nails in you.
Yeah, but I like to avoid Marlon Mack, and I would avoid Mark Ingram, and I would even, like, I wouldn't draft Jones as high as he is with Dylan being there now. Like, all these guys that have running backs before, you're going to start to see them be on the field less than what they should be from last year.
Okay.
I just want to interject there and say I'm completely with you, Lee. Jonathan Taylor is a player who I'm going to be glued to every Colts game to watch this year. The dude's a freak.
He looks
freak.
Like a freak.
He's a linebacker playing running back. Muscles that my body doesn't even have, like, are just huge on the kid. He's fantastic. And
in all fairness, Jeremy, people with biceps have muscles that you don't even have.
Shots fired.
All right. Let's move on. Okay. Let's move on to wide receivers.
Yep.
I'll start off here. And if it's okay with you guys, I'm just going to say my love and hates right back to each other because they contrast each other. And I don't think it's going to be any surprise. We're going to do this again. I love Cooper Kupp, and I would avoid Odell Beckham Jr. And I just think that
Are you shaming OBJ because of the news that came out today?
No, I'm not. And we're not even going to touch on that stuff. But I just think that who Cooper Kupp is who people think OBJ is. Right, I think Cooper Kupp catches so many more balls. It just gets you more points, but doesn't have the big name recognition.
He doesn't have that one-handed
star,
catch.
And he doesn't have that one-handed catch, and he doesn't have all the fanfare and the blonde hair. Well, he does have blonde hair, but you get what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, just that whole kind of persona that OBJ attracts. And, I mean, OBJ can live his life. I don't hate on him for that. It's like the Jimmy Butler thing. I hate on the hype that he receives whenever I don't think he really puts in – well. He doesn't put out the results that you would look for. So that's why I say draft Cooper Kupp at the position that he probably is projected at. And I would just say stay away from OBJ in general. I just wouldn't take him on my team.
OBJ is going like the late second. And like there are some really nice players there. Allen Robinson's nice. And
yeah.
whole bunch of good players there. It's going to be very interesting. I'm super intrigued by how this year is going to progress, both on the podcast and on the NFL field, because OBJ was playing injured for most of last year. So we know he's supremely talented. It's Jake hates Baker Mayfield. So Jake's going to be running laps if the Cleveland Browns go like 0-16 and something here, and OBJ doesn't get 1,000 yards. But also, I'm just saying it's interesting. Because there's going to be some great content if OBJ is great or poor. Please don't just go out and get 1,100 yards, OBJ. You got to go grab 2,000 yards or 500. Nowhere in the middle, please.
Mm-hmm.
Lee, who are you hating this year or avoiding?
Okay, so we're going right to avoid.
Oh, no, sorry. Jake did both. So
yeah.
let's go for your like there, Lee.
I know you're high on this guy, but it's Terry McLaurin from the Washington football team. I think with Dwayne now officially getting the job, which like really wasn't in question. Like I didn't really think Alex Smith or, who's the other kid from Carolina, the young kid that came in, and had a chance. Either way, Dwayne Haskins wins the job. And they threw to each other, at Ohio State. You saw how good he was, last year. And I don't see why this doesn't continue on next year.
The only go for it.
Go no, go ahead. You go.
The only reason that might not continue, and I'm a big Scary Terry or F1 guy, whatever you want to call him, but Washington just didn't add any receivers this year. And now that he's got some recognition around the league with, like, OBJ was asking him for tips on how to play the position, I think he's really good, but he's going to see a lot of coverage. Adrian Peterson's gone. We don't know how the Antonio Gibson experiment's going to work out back there. They actually listed J.D. McKissic as their starting running back, which is bad news. But Terry McLaurin is a huge talent, super fast. I have him in a couple leagues, but
yeah.
Jake says bet against Cleveland until they prove you otherwise. Kind of bet against Washington until...
Yeah.
But Terry McLaurin could be the lone bright spot there.
All right. Jeremy?
I'm loving Keenan Allen. I think he's one of the best route runners in the league. Just got paid 4 years, $80 million. Tyrod Taylor's the quarterback, so like that's not great. But like,
aren't they going to start? No,
Tyrod's the starter.
Okay,
and the coach has said probably for all the games.
No kidding.
And Justin Herbert's a project.
Yeah, yeah.
So Keenan Allen's great route runner, running those short little routes. Quarterbacks who aren't supremely skilled love that.
Yep,
and Mike Williams just got hurt. He's going to miss the first 4 to 6 weeks. That's going to allow Keenan Allen to develop a rapport with whoever's playing quarterback. Mm-hmm. And you lose Melvin Gordon. I think Keenan Allen's in line for a lot of targets this year.
Yeah.
And that's where I fall. Like, I'm follow the targets. And also, he's going like the fourth round. Like, you can get him as your wide receiver too, and he'll probably be a top 10 wide receiver.
Yeah.
I love him.
Well put.
I like Keenan Allen for where he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I guess Jake's already said who he wants to avoid. Mm-hmm. Lee, you want to go?
We coincide with each other. Yeah. So, my avoid is any wide receiver on Tampa Bay. Obviously, for fantasy reasons only. I love every one of those guys
because Leonard Fournette's gonna run the ball 600 times.
No. It's the definition of too many mouths to feed, right? Yeah. Like it's you can only throw the ball to so many people, is the big way to say it. And so I don't like drafting anyone for as high as they all are in draft boards. I get scared to touch any one of them. And then the people who love Godwin, right? Like you love Godwin when he was Jameis's guy. You gotta see where you're gonna see in the first 3 to 4 weeks where Tom goes, right? So like, cause he always has, Tom's always notoriously had like a big wide receiver, or not a big wide receiver, like a favorite wide receiver, sorry. So you got to see where that's going to be right now. So that's why just like where the capital is, I don't want to touch a wide receiver from Tampa Bay right now.
Yeah, so this is where I'm playing with fire too. I'm avoiding in redraft leagues Mike Evans. He's my fantasy darling on my dynasty team, but I'm worried. I'm playing with fire here, and I'm saying Tom Brady historically has been doing all these short to intermediate routes where Mike Evans is just to throw the ball up and grab it. Yeah. Not a whole lot of yards after the catch for Mike Evans, but on the flip side of the coin, he could be Randy Moss. He's had like five or six years of 1,000-yard seasons with Winston as his quarterback or Ryan Fitzpatrick. So Tom Brady's going to be the best
quarterback.
Josh McCown. And all he's done is put up numbers. But Tom Brady's a different style of quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very worried. And to take Mike Evans, I think he's like wide receiver 6 or 7 right now in drafts. It's really scary. And he burned you 2 or 3 times last year. He put up 0 points in games where he played the whole game. He finished as a top 10 wide receiver, but you want consistency.
Yeah.
So avoid Mike Evans.
Fair enough. Move on to tight ends. Lee, why don't you start us off?
I love Eric Ebron.
Boo!
I don't know why you're booing when they're your Super Bowl champs.
Yeah, like, despite Ebron.
Big Ben, it's just exactly Big Ben's healthy. Big Ben's been a big tight end guy from Heath Miller, for God's sakes. Like, he made Heath Miller a Hall of Famer, probably. And he even, the first year that he was healthy, made Vance McDonald like want everybody to want to draft him early last year. Now if he's not healthy, then you're in trouble. But like I said, if you get Big Ben, you get a good tight end. Ebron's your guy there.
Yeah. Like
you know, you're starting to like it the more I say it.
Ebron's an athletic freak. I'm more in the James Conner, the Deontay Johnson, the Juju Smith-Schuster, even the Chase Claypool. Chase Claypool could move to tight end throughout the year. And
I think that Steelers offense just in general, Jer, is just going to be like a matchup problem.
Yeah, it's going to be very well. That was the piece of news on Sleeper. It said Ebron chess piece moves all across the field, and like that's just when you don't know what to do with a player. You're like, let's try him here. Sure. Does he fit here?
Yeah, and then he ends up just not quite fitting anywhere.
Yeah,
right.
He'll be a good red zone target, and like if you need to stream someone every once in a while, like. Yeah, hope for the tight end touchdown. Like that's what you're doing at some points if you don't get some of the big guys.
Mm-hmm. So on that note, I'm going to go with who I love. In my redraft league, I was ballsy. It's a 10-team league. I was drafting 9 and 12, And I took Kelce and Kittle in those spots respectively. And I understand that that's controversial, but whenever you have, in my opinion, there's, I think, four wide or tight ends who actually get you points consistently. If you have two of them, one, you're guaranteeing that you're going to get spot like points at your tight end spot, but you can play the other guy at the flex. And
you're taking something away from other teams.
And then you're taking something away from other teams. So now every other team is going, well, now my options are so limited. There's not 10 tight ends in the league.
No.
Like, there's really not. And you're guaranteeing that at least, what I think, three or four times throughout the year, the other team's tight end is just not going to put up really anything.
Yeah, and you can put up six times the amount of points through the two tight ends. I mean, they're not going to be playing two tight ends, but
yeah, exactly.
It's an interesting strategy. So I'm definitely going to be following along. And
so I you know what?
I like your guys, Jake. You got Saquon, Kelce, Kittle. You love your first round, your stars. That's what you love.
Yeah,
yeah, and Cooper Kupp. I think that for me, the guys who I love are like, I love guys who are going in the first round and I think should go in the first round, right? My guys to avoid, if you noticed, were guys who, like I said, avoid Derrick Henry. I said avoid OBJ, right? Avoid the guys who are going super high and I don't think they should be, right? That's what I'm saying. So, and yeah, so sue me. Of course, you got to like.
I'm not saying sue you. I wasn't saying. I was just saying it was a good trend. It was a trend you had.
Absolutely. Yeah. The first round, I think, is a lot of times where you make or break your drafts because you can really strike out in the first round. I don't think you're striking out if you take that.
Okay, I like Kelce, I like Kittle. They're both good players.
Mm-hmm.
Go get them. My player I love, similar to quarterback, I usually tend to pick tight ends at the end, and there's always one guy that breaks out, and like you can kind of start building a model of how they're going to break out. Young guy, super athletic. And like, has a good quarterback.
Noah Fant.
Yeah, that could be one. I'm going with the other sophomore this year. I'm going T.J. Hockenson,
the other Iowa guy.
Yeah. So he had a huge Week One performance last year. Fantasy waiver wire darling. Everyone went out, spent all their money on him, and then he blew it for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. Wasn't very good. But tight end rookies never do anything. It takes them a while to learn the position at the NFL level. And Hockenson is an athletic freak. He's like that Gronk level. He could be that Gronk level guy. And you got Matt Stafford thrown to him, great quarterback. I think Hockenson is either option 2A or 2B behind Kenny Golladay. Marvin Jones is going to be the field stretcher, but Hockenson is going to get a lot of love from Stafford, I think, this year. And he's almost free in draft. So,
and that I was just going to say that I got him with, I want to say, my last pick in the draft before I drafted a defense. And that was just I was happy to see him there. It's not like I need another tight end.
Yeah.
Right? I was taking him away from the rest of the league. And so, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I like his value on where he goes. I think just the thing I have an issue with is just Stafford's record with tight ends. He's never been a big tight end guy. He's never had huge tight ends work.
Ebron caught 10 touchdowns.
No, but Ebron had 1 year of top 10 touchdowns and then
no,
flopped.
No, he caught 10 touchdowns, not top 10 touchdowns.
Oh, caught 10, sorry. And then he, like, but in all honesty, the Ebron experiment didn't work and he went to the Colts where it worked, right? So that's the only thing I get worried about, but, like, you can't go wrong with where you pick him, which is what you guys are saying, right? So, like, that's the thing I like about him.
Nice. Okay, let's start avoiding some players. Lee, you want to lead us off? Lead us off?
Jake doesn't have it. He's switched it around. I'm avoiding the number one. I think he was the number one tight end last year. Nope. Oakland's Darren Waller.
He was number three last year.
Yeah.
Number three, so he's outside the big two?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I just don't see that happening again. Every once in a while you do get, like, tight ends are weird where you get, like, freak performances year to year, right? So I just don't think where Waller's going to get him again is worth the value when he can go grab other guys.
Yeah, that's fair. I hate those mid-round quarter or tight ends because you're spending too much when, like, good running backs and wide receivers are still on the board, and you still can't really count on them week in and week out, and especially in Oakland, and especially in Las Vegas, you got Henry Ruggs there, who they drafted in the first round, and you got everyone's fantasy camp darling, Bryan Edwards, who also...
I can't believe how many times you're going to use darling in this fantasy.
Yeah. And it's my word right now.
It's a word.
Yeah. So I love the pick of avoiding Waller because we just don't know. And he had a big year last year, but he didn't have like
So he had. I'm just looking at the stats right now, Lee. In terms of receiving yards, he had the second most behind Kelsey. Yeah. But he was third in points, but not by much. He was only behind Kittle by 4 points.
Gotcha.
So 90 receptions. He outcaught George Kittle by five.
I don't think he's getting 60 this year.
You don't think he's getting 60 receptions?
Yeah.
And that's fair. We'll see. We'll see, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Jake, who are you trying to avoid?
It's a fun pick. I'm saying avoid Gronkowski because everything in my body wants to draft him so bad. Everything in me wanted Rob Gronkowski so bad. It's just you don't know what you might get with him. His injury history, I think, is worrisome. But he's with Tom Brady. Of course, there's some upside there. I just think it's just such an unknown. And from me saying that, he's probably going to go out and be the best tight end in the game.
No. He's going to be a great blocker there, and that's fine. But we've seen him. He's not as fast as he used to be. Like, he's lost a lot of weight, but I still don't think, like, he's in football shape now, we hear. But I don't think, like, he's going to be a good piece for Tom, and, like, I don't think he's worth the money that they're paying him in Tampa. But to make
the scary thing as well is that, like, the Bucs had offers to get rid of O.J. Howard and didn't.
Yeah.
So, like, I just feel like Bruce must have seen something with O.J., and so
Well, they're co-starters.
Yeah, they're co-starters, so that's where I'm agreeing with you, Jake, where it's like you get sketched out because Gronk, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he could be the best, but at the same point in time, he might just be the great blocker Jarrett saying, and all of a sudden, O.J. Howard's the receiving tight end that you see.
That's kind of where I'm thinking. And, like, I just don't see them targeting. Like, they didn't target O.J. Howard at all last year. I know it's a new quarterback and stuff, but I don't know. We'll see.
Bad day to be Cameron Braid on that team.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Your best friend, Jameis Winston, who threw you the ball when there was a O.J. Howard there, is gone.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to move on to my tight end. The highest paid tight end in the league this year, Austin Hooper. Austin Hooper caught a whole bunch of balls last year from Baker Mayfield. Or not from Baker Mayfield. He was in Matt Ryan. Now he's going to be trying to catch balls from Baker Mayfield. And again, I think OBJ's going to be demanding targets. I think Jarvis Landry's going to be demanding targets. And I just don't. Who's like? He's not Tony Gonzalez here.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't see the Browns targeting tight end very much. He's a good little thing, but again, avoid the mid-range tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the lesson to learn here, I think.
That's fair. Okay.
I love that pick.
Awesome.
So, briefly, we got some sleepers to draft or watch. I know Jer and I love these spots where you go down there. Last year was Preston Williams for Jer, right? And you go find the guy who could be it out of camp or just make it like unexpectedly when people maybe aren't thinking you are. So Jer starts with, it was going to be Antonio Gibson, right?
Yeah, because I was drafting him everywhere. You could get him in like the 9th, 10th, 11th round. Now after they cut Adrian Peterson and everyone thinks he's going to be the starter, but he's something that a Swiss Army knife player, and we just went and said we hate these types because we don't really know where they fit. But when you're
on a team like Washington,
when you're this athletic, it's going to be very interesting to see. And Adrian Peterson, when he got cut, had nothing but good things to say about Antonio Gibson. Said, "Well, I had the talk, and they said we're going to go in a different direction. We want one guy, not an RBBC." And that looks to be Antonio Gibson because they're trying to find that next big thing. And with his athletic profile, it'll be very interesting. But he's going in the 5th round now. You have to pay up a little to get him to go for that experiment. It's a little rich for my blood. So now I'm liking Chris Thompson. He's probably the starter in Jacksonville. People are saying he's not. We'll see. I think he's going to be the running back there with the most fantasy points. I think he catches the ball very well, and when last time he was healthy, he was, I think, like a running back too in Washington. So I like him, and that team's going to be down a lot, so they're going to be throwing the ball a lot, and he's going to be the pass-catching running back.
All right. Well, I'm going to go against Jer here, but I always like talking whenever I talk and you hear me talk. I don't do redraft leagues. I'm in a dynasty league. So it's a guy who could still be available in the dynasty league, but most times the guy's probably been picked up if you're in a full dynasty. And that's Divine Ozigbo. Ozigbo. He's the undrafted running back out of there, undrafted free agent, and he does what Chris Thompson does as well. He's a pass catcher. And Marone loves him and says there's definitely a role for him in this offense here. And just being that young running back, it's not a bad call to go take a flyer on him, especially with a team like the Jags, where like some people are already saying that they're trying to just get Trevor Lawrence. And some people are saying like you don't know who's going to start week in, week out. So that's why I like him where he is, because it's nowhere. Nobody has him.
Yeah, it's like when that's the price, you can't argue with free.
Yeah, exactly. Last guy I put, as we were just talking about avoiding Hooper, it made me think is, I don't know where, just because I didn't hold a draft this year, but you guys do. Where does Hayden Hurst go in Atlanta?
So he's been jumping up a little bit. He's still like tight end 10, 11, 12 taken.
Okay, so I like him there just because of what he showed last year. Different offense, obviously, but Matt Ryan has always loved his tight end, and it's the new style tight end Hayden Hurst is, right? The more athletic wide receiver, not the Gonzalez, even the Austin Hooper, right? So I think it's a cool little guy that you can get down there if you've like skipped out on tight ends.
I agree. I had him as my love before I went Hockenson, because I think Hockenson can like blow up a little bit more, but Herschel can be reliable, because outside of Julio Jones and Kelvin Ridley, there's nothing there. Like, yeah, they have Todd Gurley, but he wasn't catching the ball last year in LA, so Hayden Hurst could see a lot of targets, and that's kind of what you want when you're drafting tight end late. Jake, you got anyone?
No.
You kind of on board.
He's a first round. He's a high round out of draft weight.
Yeah, no. For me, my strategy this year was to, because I took the guys, the two tight ends early. Then I took James Conner with my next pick, and then I just loaded up on those running backs that something's got to stick. I threw a bunch of things at the wall, and one of them has to stick.
Yeah.
One of them has to, I hope.
Either that or we'll be here in a couple of weeks hearing you complain about what's not sticking.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's probably more likely.
That'll be entertaining. Something to look forward to on the next episode of Poor Sports. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, with that said, gentlemen, you going to say go ahead, Lee, or no?
I was just going to say, with that, we're going to be switching back to every other. We're not going to be going every. Everybody's been busy lately and will continue to be busy. So I was just saying that you'll hear us every other week. So.
Yeah, but it'll still be more often than when we were doing. The summer's winding down, and it's going to be nice to be back in studio as much as we can.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. You said it. Well, thanks for listening. Ciao for now from all of us here at Poor Sports.
Poor Sports.